I don't help you, you're beyond help.
Right.
I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 9. Verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. I got this thought while Brother Brian was preaching this morning. He's talking about a man of God sees things that not everybody sees. But a lot of people could take that wrongly.
Yeah, right.
Like he would have been trying to say that we think we're more spiritual, therefore we see things other people don't see. So that was not the point.
Right.
The point is, God will give vision to people that walk with Him, whether they're preachers or not,
right,
that other people won't see. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So we have to have our eyes anointed with eyesalve in this Laodicean church age so that we can see like God wants us to see.
Right.
But here's my text, verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come and let us go to the seer, for he is that is now called a prophet, was before time called a seer." So I looked up the word seer, and you're not going to believe this, but it's just one who sees. He's a seer. And it does mean one who sees beyond what most other people can see. That would be a seer. So before they called them prophets, they just called them seers because they could see things that other people could not see.
Amen.
I thought about Dr. Bob Jones Sr. I was a new Christian, and I heard a sermon that he preached on a record album. How many of you ever listened to a sermon on a record album? Marie, where have you been? And he preached a sermon on don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. That had to do with immediate gratification.
Yes, sir.
You want what you want. You want it right now. And you sacrifice the rest of your life and blessings of God in order to have something that you want right now, even though you know it's wrong. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate.
Yes, sir.
Great old preacher, and he was not a Baptist, much less an independent Baptist.
Right.
But he was a seer. He knew what he was talking about.
Yep.
Brother Lester Roloff saw the dangers of television.
Yes, sir.
And the movie theater. Because he said it was going to get people accustomed to seeing those things and then they wouldn't see anything wrong with them. He was a seer who saw something coming through what he saw now.
Yes, sir. Right.
That's what a seer does. He sees something that says, this is going to lead us in a bad direction right here. It might not be so bad in itself, but it's bad in the direction it's leading us. And a seer can see there's more here than meets the eye.
Right.
And he said that television was going to cause teenagers to be inappropriate in their social interactions. You watch a television program nowadays, it has a child in it, amen, and the rebellious, disobedient, obnoxious brat is the hero of the show. That teaches children, that's the cool way to be right there. Smart mouth, disobedient, do what you want to do. And they make it comedy so that everybody laughs. So that makes it okay.
Right.
But Brother Roloff could see this is leading us in the wrong direction. And he would cry out against a lot of things. That people would get up after he preached and apologize to their church about, well, that's just the way Brother Roloff is. And you know, we all love Brother Roloff.
Yeah.
And they let him come back and preach. Because the whole country listened to Brother Roloff on the radio.
Yeah.
And they wanted him in their churches, but they would apologize for what he had to say when he got done preaching. But he was seeing things that they could not see. Brother Jack Wood saw the dangers of teenagers having car keys and worldly friends. He always said the automobile was the worst invention to the downfall of our young people ever. Because he could see that it gave them a way to go where they shouldn't be going and be with people that they shouldn't be with. When they get car keys, mom and dad, you better pray big time. But I don't see anything wrong with car keys. That's because you're not a seer.
Right.
Good. Nowadays, those who are true seers see the dangers of the cell phone and the internet and a car. Now they can set a time and a place where they're going to meet because they always have a phone at hand and they can arrange whatever they want to arrange with whomever they want to arrange it with, wherever they want to arrange it with, and they can coordinate their efforts and do anything they want to do. And I just don't see anything wrong with having a cell phone. Me either, if you want to do right.
Right.
But if you want to do wrong, that cell phone will give you a way to do it.
That's right.
Now, mom and dad, that's going to put you in a great dilemma. When do you allow your child to have their own cell phone? I don't know that I even have the answer to that. You better pray and ask God to let you see where this is going to lead at whatever age you decide to do it. Because things that start out no big deal have a way of building and building and building and building and building until it's an out of control big deal. Because there was nobody in their life that was a seer who could say, I think this is heading in the wrong direction here. I think I see a disaster coming out there if we do this now. For years, when I'd go out of town, I would preach. We lose about one family a year due to immorality, where people have hooked up with somebody on the internet, and one or the other of the couple went out there with some old flame, and they were gone. The first 10 years I was in this church, that happened average of about once a year. It seems to be leveling off a little bit now. Thank God. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe we have somebody who is seeing where all that can lead to. You have to be able to see the trends, the fads, and what's behind these fads. The most popular movies are fiction.
Yep.
Spider-Man, Terminator. I guess that's out of date. Maybe both of them are out of date. Who knows? I'm sure some of you know. You know exactly what's up today. That's because you don't see where all this is going.
Right.
And you're arrogant enough to believe you can handle it and it won't affect you.
Right.
So you have fiction books that are usually the best sellers. Different decades have a different favorite bestseller. I remember when it was Tom Clancy in the 80s. John Grisham in the 90s. And just on and on it goes. Stephen King, Dean Koontz. When it got to the horror stage, you know, when they turned clowns into mass murderers.
Yep.
I've got a marionette. It's like a giant puppet on a string hanging in my shop. Children will come in there and start screaming when they see it. Because they think it's going to be a mass murderer. They used to see them and say, oh, look, a clown. They'd laugh. They don't laugh anymore. They scream and run for cover. They don't even like baby dolls anymore because they're afraid you're going to come to life and murder them. I'm talking about trends. You say, well, I never thought about that. That's because you can't see. You have to have a seer to get up and tell you. What's happening with all this stuff? Does that mean I shouldn't buy a baby doll? No. It just means somehow you're going to have to explain to your kids that not all clowns and baby dolls are mass murderers.
Yeah.
What are you doing letting your kids watch that stuff anyway?
Amen.
What are you doing watching it?
Amen.
Oh, I just love that kind of stuff. You're twisted off. I hope you don't get a CHL.
No.
Concealed handgun license for those who don't know what that is. Since we're on the internet, I'll explain that. I remember when I preached against slits and skirts. How many of you ever remember hearing me preach against that? Hmm? You know, they made skirts at one time where they had to have a slit in them or ladies couldn't even walk. Because they were straight line skirts and they weren't even big enough at the bottom to walk unless you did like this. So they put a slit in them so you could walk.
Well, I've got to have a slit because I can't walk if it doesn't have a slit.
Well, how about buying a skirt with more material in it?
Oh, what a novel idea.
Yep.
You see, what it is, though, you can't see.
Right.
So God calls the preacher to get up and tell you what he sees. And some of that stuff, nowadays, you can see the moon rising.
Right.
Preacher Carl Lackey, the old mountain preacher, said, the Bible said, let your light shine, but he wasn't talking about your tail light.
Amen.
I wouldn't say that. That just sounds a little too crude. That's what he said. So the most popular movies are fiction, drama. I mean, they're out there killing everybody. And they got these blood packs that explode when they get shot, you know, and blood splatters on the wall, and they make it look realistic. And, oh, man, did you see that? Oh, wasn't that cool? It's not going to be cool when it's your buddy. In Afghanistan, not going to be cool at all. But that hardens the heart and gets them used to seeing all that. Then if they grow up in the hood, they can't wait till the day that they can, instead of playing on the game, do the real thing. I'm talking about trends. How seemingly innocent things can lead to disastrous things unless somebody can see, where is this going?
Amen.
So, I don't see too many skirts with slits in them anymore, because now the fashion designers figured out how to just make these skirts like this. There's not a slit in it, it's just got a ton of missing material all the way around. You know what I'm talking about? Here, I need to go buy one, put it on, wear it up here. Show you what I'm talking about. You got it. Okay. Thank you. I would hate to have to do that, but I watched Preacher Lackey do it one time. Yeah, that mountain preacher would give you a real visual. You'd take somebody, call on somebody to pray. Everybody's head would go down when that old man put on some of the stuff he'd put on. But he wanted you to see.
Amen.
Yes. Science fiction, Disney movies, drama. It is hard to find a book written before 1899 that is fiction. There was a few, but not many. But nobody would buy them back then, because they believed it was silly to read something that was not true. You know what the Bible does say? Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. That would eliminate 90% of what people think about nowadays. A seer sees things in history that other people don't see. Now, when I was in school, guys, I'll admit it, I hated history. I thought, well, what is the use of learning all this stuff? It's already happened. It's done. It's over with. Let's move on. I didn't know to memorize dates and names. And all that stuff that teachers made you memorize back then before they started spoon feeding you the test the day before the test. So I'm talking about way back there. When you actually studied and learned stuff instead of just waiting for the review the day before the test. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, Pastor, I'd just like to know, why is this student failing? Are those teachers doing their job? I'll tell you why they're failing. They don't ever study. And parents expect the teachers to do all the work for them. Hey, it's your kid. Why don't you find out what they're supposed to be learning and check on them at home and see if they're learning it? Oh, I know why you don't. It's more work for you, you lazy hound dog. No wonder your kid's too lazy to learn. They got two parents that are too lazy to make them learn.
Okay, this is losing steam fast now. But I'm talking about a trend. I'm seeing a trend here that you're missing. You want your kids to have fun all the time. Oh, they teach that in education classes in college now. Teach the kids to have fun. It's not about having fun. It's about learning.
Amen.
Well, let's make learning fun. The more fun you make it, the less they're going to learn. That's old school. But I can see where these new trends are going. The school has become a zoo.
Amen.
Where everybody just does that which is right in their own eyes. Oh, have a dress standard? Yeah, we got a school manual that tells you how to dress, but students don't dress by it anymore.
You're right.
Because there's nobody to enforce the manual.
Amen.
Because that's old fashioned. They don't want to dress like that. Who cares what the student wants to do?
Right.
Amen.
Unless you're immature yourself. And all you care about is their pleasure.
Yeah. Amen.
A seer sees where things are going before they get there. And so we learn from history that our country fought for our independence. Because England wanted to tell us how to run this country. And eventually they started taxing us without us having any representation. Taxation without representation. So they had the Boston Tea Party. And they dumped all the king's tea into the ocean. They said, we're not paying taxes on this. Well, that got them upset. So they sent troops over here, and we let them know we was upset enough to do something about it. And we've been independent since then. Because our founding fathers saw where this was going to lead. England was going to have the natural resources of this vast country for themselves. And we said, well, if we're going to come out here and build houses, plow the land, make crops, feed our family, survive disease, and Indians. Oh, now you're being racist. No, I am one. If I'd been here back then, I'd have got your scalp. I see some here I would like to tie to my horse's mane. Me scalp on big time.
Amen.
That's why I preach like I do. They braved those things and they got in covered wagons and started going west and traveled and even went across the desert in New Mexico and Arizona to get to California to the goal. The 49ers, 1849. I'm saying we need to learn something from history. Learn as much as you can, young people, about history. Because if you don't learn history, you're doomed to repeat it. So you need to learn from the founding fathers and the Constitution and the pioneers. You need to learn from the Civil War. That's a forbidden subject nowadays, now that they're tearing down the statues of all the heroes of the Civil War.
Right.
Of course, a preacher's not even going to touch that subject because it might offend somebody in his church. Well, if you think you're going to get offended, you better leave now. Because I don't mind teaching you something about history that'll help you to see what went on and what's going to go on if we don't see what happened then. You say, what was that war about? Depends on which side you were on. If you were on the north side, it was about slavery. If you were on the south side, it was about states' rights that states should be able to decide for themselves instead of the federal government imposing on us. And when the South lost that war, the federal government has told us what to do ever since.
Right.
It wasn't about slavery. It was about the federal government telling us what we can and cannot do. And they're still doing it to this day. You just get the wrong person in the White House and you're going to find out they're really going to tell us what to do.
Right.
You get one of those socialists elected.
Right.
Bernie Sanders comes to mind. Elizabeth Warren comes to mind. Cortez comes to mind.
Yeah.
OAC. You get one of those ultra progressive liberals in there, and you're going to find out, amen, they're going to come get your guns, not just your assault rifles, they're going to get every gun you've got, because that's what socialism believes in.
Right.
You say, well, I think that's what they ought to do. Well, they will if they get elected. And then the rednecks say, well, they'll have to pry my cold, dead fingers off of mine. They'll be glad to do that. They will enjoy doing that. If they can't pry them off, they'll take a hatchet and chop them off.
Yep.
They're going to get them. They're going to get them if they get in power. They're going to get them.
Amen.
Say, I'll hide them. They'll just x-ray your whole property. They'll find them. They'll x-ray it with a helicopter. There's one right there in the attic underneath the insulation. There's one right there buried in the yard. You don't think they got the technology to find your guns? Hmm?
Right.
Brother Joel, do you think they've already got that technology?
They do.
They got it. Have you ever seen it in operation? I figured you had. What a dreamer these rednecks are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same guy that'll say, what's this?
Yeah.
Right before he does the most stupid thing you've ever seen anybody do in your whole life. And blows himself up or falls off the roof or cuts a tree down on his own house or something like that. What's this? Mm-hmm. Hey, and I like rednecks. I probably am one. But I got enough sense to know if they come to get your guns, they're going to get them. You going to do like David Koresh and stand up against federal government military? Well, don't be surprised if you have the same ending.
Right.
A lot of people have tried that. I'm saying we need to learn from history.
Yeah.
We need to learn from the Civil War. We need to learn from World War I. That taught us, the Germans, love to go to war. If they're not in a war, they're planning one. Because they love it. Because they believe if they could control the world would be a better place to live. They might even be right about that. But military aggression is the wrong way to accomplish it. They enjoy the killing part way too much. So they came up World War I with mustard gas, where it could just float across the battlefield, and it's heavier than air. It settled right down in those trenches. Back then they had trench warfare.
Yes.
And that mustard gas would settle right down in those trenches and everything breathing, and it died without even firing a shot. World War II! Look, there goes the Germans on the march again. Now they've got a demon-possessed leader
yep.
who hates Jewish people. And he's frying them, gassing them, shooting them. Anything they can think of to get rid of the scourge on their society. And if it hadn't been for the United States of America, they could have probably pulled it off. They did kill 6 million plus. He said, I don't believe that. Go to any Holocaust museum anywhere in the world, and they got photos. Even in Germany, they got them.
Yes, sir.
If it was a hoax, you'd think Germany wouldn't have a Holocaust museum. They got them. You can go in the concentration camps where they were gassing them. The pipes are still coming out of the wall where they told them they were going in for a shower, for cleansing. But it wasn't water coming out of those pipes. It was poison gas coming out of those pipes. And they had the ovens in the same building where they could just take meat hooks, hang them on the meat hooks, and roll them on these pulleys down to the ovens and incinerate them. The precursor to cremation. I'm talking about seeing where things are going.
Yes, sir.
Based on where they went in the past. We need to learn from history. We need to learn from what we see now. Discernment that teaches us to see that the way people dress just keeps getting worse and worse. You just pick out one detail and start preaching against it, and somebody will always come to you after the service and say, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with that." That's because you can't see. You get in this book. You get on your knees. You get in church at a service. You can see a whole lot better. What you see reveals what somebody is doing. Doesn't mean they're doing it today, but it means it's already in their heart. And they can't wait till they get to the place that they can do what's in their heart. And it's revealed in what they wear and in the attitude that they have. This gangbanger attitude, tough guy, what are you looking at? You looking at me? You want some of me? Huh? Huh? This gangbanger mentality is leading our country to another civil war. Because it's the blacks against the whites, against the Hispanics, against the KKK, the Aryan Brotherhood. And they're dividing our country just like the Republicans and the Democrats.
Right.
Can you see where this is going? It's going to hatred. It's going to violence. It's more than politics.
Right.
It's what's in their heart.
Yes, sir.
And it's a hatred for anybody that doesn't see it like we do and believe it like we do. And there will be violence in the streets before it's done.
Yes, sir.
We must learn from what we see now. It's revealed in what you wear. It's revealed in your attitude. And it's revealed in the way you live your life. We must see where this is going. Or we'll get caught up in it as if it is no big deal. I don't see anything wrong with that. This is not important here. Not to you. But it was to somebody that set up the standard before you got here.
Yep.
It was important to them. This church would not be here today if an old man of God hadn't come into the heights in the 70s and preached things that went against the grain in every church in the area.
Amen.
But he just kept preaching it. We listened to him. And if he preached against it, we quit doing it.
Amen.
Those days are gone. Because you can't see. The seer sees what you're doing. He sees where you're going. Places that you go that this church preached against for 40 years. The wine tasting parties come to my mind again. How embarrassed I was as a pastor of this church when I saw some of our ladies on Facebook wearing black t-shirts with sayings on it, implying how much fun it was to go to wine tasting parties. Now, when I preached that months ago, three of those young women apologized to me. Hats off to them for doing that.
Amen.
A couple of them never mentioned it. And they never will, because I'm sure they're the ringleaders. The ringleaders never apologize. Because they believe they're delivering these poor, deluded souls from all this conservatism that's got them bound up. They thought they were doing their sisters and friends a favor. But the seer sees where this is going. Baptists have traditionally been teetotalers. That means they don't drink alcohol. Historically, teetotalers. Even the Methodists in Sam Morris's day, the great voice of temperance on the radio in the state of Texas, Sam Morris, preached against alcohol. That was his entire ministry, his whole life. He hated alcohol because of what it did to his father.
Yeah.
And his family. And he preached against it every time he preached a sermon that was on the radio. Brother Sam Morris always preached against alcohol and what it would do to you and what it would do to your family.
Amen.
But now, well, I just don't see anything wrong with an occasional glass of wine. It's because you can't see
right.
Where it will go.
Right.
Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You talk to that alcoholic on the street, or the drunk, whatever you want to call him, or her, you'll find out they all started with one drink.
Right.
Every single one of them started with one drink.
Yes, sir.
When you take that first drink, you don't know whether that's going to be your last one or not. Most of the time, it's not.
Right.
It sees where you're going. The seer sees where you're going and where you will end up. Worldly leads to wicked. Wicked leads to brokenness and destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's partying. Everybody's drinking. Everybody's shooting up. Everybody's having a good time. But you don't ever see the end of it when they're alone and they're hooked. And they can't get enough to make them happy again, but they keep trying because now they're addicted. Their family's gone.
Yes, sir.
Their hopes and dreams are gone. Shattered by their worldliness when they saw nothing wrong with it that turned into wickedness. That separated them from God and from the church and from preaching and from the Bible and from the people of God. It separated them from all those. And they got their worldly friends who became wicked friends. And then they got hooked on something that destroyed their life. And maybe even put them in prison before it was over. If not in an early grave. Wickedness will get you in an early grave.
Right.
Because if you're committing wickedness, that means you're hanging out with wicked people. And some of those wicked people are killers. Because they're further down that road than you are.
Yeah.
Sin always gets worse. Never gets better. A seer can see that. And a seer can tell you that. And you protest all you want to about how, well, you're just trying to scare us and you're just trying to put fear in us and you're just trying. No, I'll tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to keep you from destroying yourself and your family.
Amen.
And our church. I'm trying to keep you from it.
Amen.
Because this is the place we get help.
Amen.
Right here. This is where we get help. Many of you have been saved right here. Praise the Lord. We want to keep the church clean. We want to keep the church right. We want to avoid these trends that end up where we don't want to be. That brings contemporary Christianity to mind.
Amen.
We still have hymnals.
Amen.
Two of them.
Yes, sir.
Most churches don't have any. That's why I sell them now for $8 a piece. And old people still come into my shop wanting to know if I got a hymnal. You have any hymnals? Oh, yeah. Follow me. I'll show you right where they are. Oh, there's an old Baptist hymnal. I haven't seen one of those in years. I bet not. They don't need hymnals anymore. They got a screen up there with the words on the wall. You say, are you against that? I just know where it's going. You say, where is it going? It's going where you're not going to have a music school because they never put the notes on the wall. They just put the words. And if you're singing four-part harmony, you're going to have a hard time doing it unless somebody's already taught you how to do it and didn't do it by ear. So all those churches don't sing. They come to our church and say, my, the singing sure is loud in this church. Well, that's because we all, well, not all, most of us sing. You go to those churches with the words on the wall, you'd think that's where everybody would sing. No, they don't sing. They can't sing notes. They don't know the notes when they see them. If it wasn't for Brother Arnold said, we wouldn't be able to. Thank you, Brother Arnold said, for helping us all these years.
Amen.
He's about done. But he's trained some young men that can do it. We got young men in this church that can teach singing school.
Yep.
Because they've had years of sitting under that old singing man of God.
Amen.
We learn from history in the Roman Empire that was so great and so grand and so powerful that if immorality is allowed to go unchecked, it will destroy the greatest empire on earth. You don't believe that? Read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Sodomy became accepted, like it is in America now. They started, no doubt, teaching it in their schools that this is normal, like they do your children if they go to a public school. They start with a first grade reader or kindergarten reader showing two men as a family or two women as a family. So that your little child that's so precious to you can grow up believing that's normal and that's okay. A seer can see that. Let me try to bring this to a close. I bet you'll be happy about that. A seer sees creation when he's preaching on it. If he's not a seer, he's preaching on it, but he can't see it.
Right.
A seer can preach on the flood and hear the screams and see the people going under for the last time, drowning because of their evil imagination and their continual wickedness. And a seer can preach on those people being destroyed by the flood, and he can see that this society can't last forever with all this wickedness. of fear can preach on God leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. As if he can see that blood on the doorposts and the lintels. And the death angel passing over their firstborn. He can preach it like he sees it. Because he does see it in the pages of the Word of God. Some of you can read your Bible for 3 hours and never see one thing. A seer can preach on Calvary. And he sees the blood of the darling Lamb of God flowing down that cross, being hated and mocked and spit upon and his beard plucked out. But because he loved us, he endured it all without even opening his mouth and protesting the unfairness of it all. A seer can see Calvary. When he preaches on it. A seer can see the rapture when he's preaching on it. And seeing us leaving all of our troubles and cares behind and going to be with our loved ones who've gone on before and going to be with Jesus Christ forever and living in a mansion on a street of gold and worshiping and thanking God for saving us from our sins and washing us in the blood and giving us a home in heaven when we should have been in hell and we knew it. A seer can see the great tribulation and all the suffering and all the sorrow when he preaches on it. A seer can see the Lord Jesus coming at the end of the tribulation and a nation being born in a day, which is why we've got Project Joshua going on. We're doing our best to get the gospel to every creature we can in the nation of Israel, because one of these days we're going to need 144,000 preachers. We want to reach the one that trains them. But somebody's going to reach the one that trains them. Going to have to be a born again man. He might already be alive over there in Israel. He might be in the IDF. For all we know. I'd like to read. A seer can see these things happening. A seer can see hell when he preaches on hell. And he sees the screams and the curses and the cries for water and the cries for somebody to go to their family and tell them so they don't also go to that horrible place called hell. Where, yes, it's got real fire, real torment. Well, why would a loving God make people suffer? Because they rejected His only begotten Son. And God made it so easy for them to escape from hell. But they were so wicked and rebellious, they would not. So where else are you going to put people like that? You're going to contaminate heaven with those people? You're out of your mind. And a seer can see heaven. Sweet and beautiful and forever when he preaches on it. Can you see? Or do you just come to church? So God gives us seers, like old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Brother Lester Roloff. He had doctor's degrees, but he never wanted people to call him doctor. He was just Brother Roloff. I got a doctor's degree. So what? Preacher Lackey, the old mountain preacher, said, that doesn't put any more, it's like the curl in a pig's tail. It doesn't put any more ham on the hog. But for you boys that think you're going to goof off in school and pastor a church and preach like I preach, that's not going to happen.
Right.
If you're lazy in school, you'll be lazy as a pastor.
Right.
Amen.
If you won't study in school, you won't study in your office to get ready to preach.
Right.
If you won't pray when you're a teenager, if you're born again, you're not going to pray when you become a pastor of a church. You'll just get you an outline off the internet and get up and go with it and then wonder why it's so dead. I run across those preachers everywhere I go. Brother Wood used to say they can't preach their way out of a wet paper sack.
Right.
I meet them all the time. They're pastoring good-sized churches, bigger than ours. They can't preach a lick. You say, why not? They don't see anything. For them, all it is a free place to live and a free car to drive and a salary to buy whatever they want. It has nothing to do with getting sinners saved and edifying the church and getting God's people to walk with God. I'm telling you, young men, there's a dearth, there's a famine, there's a drought of young men who love the Bible and love God and will live a clean life just so they can serve God and see what's going on and preach against it.
Amen.
A seer. It's what they called them before they called them prophets.
Yep.
Samuel, the context of that verse, was probably the first one that was called a prophet. Because before that, they were not called prophets. What about you? Do you even want to see where some of this stuff is going? Or are you just going to continue to say, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't know why they make such a big deal out of that. That's not important. That's because you have no spiritual discernment and you cannot see. So you need somebody that has some discernment to see for you and tell you what they see is wrong with all the things that you don't see anything wrong with. Would you stand and bow your heads? Father, I pray you bless the message tonight. I pray you touch hearts. Thank you, Father, for giving us an old preacher man here back in the 70s who took an unpopular stand, and you blessed him for it. And this church was built on King James Bible preaching. Back when churches were already going to other versions, Revised Standard, American Standard, long before there was an NIV. Now the NIV has swept across our country. And the only thing that keeps life in any of the churches is upbeat music and some kind of excitement. But there's no power of God. Lord, we invite you to come anytime, all the time. We desire your presence. Thank you for showing up when the Lutherans were singing tonight. What a blessing. I pray you bless them for that good singing. And I pray, Father, you bless this preaching. If somebody's been getting irritated about where we stand and what our convictions and standards are, maybe it's been bugging them a little bit, I pray, Father, you would open their eyes and let them see that there's a reason why we have taken these stands all these years. Lord, we love you. We're willing to put our opinions aside to serve you, to fellowship with you, and to worship you. Forgive us, Lord, where we've leaned towards worldliness and wickedness. Have mercy on us and convict us that we may repent and get right. May your will continue to be done in this church till the trumpet sounds. It calls us out. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Gary?
Hymn number 345 in your soul stirring hymn book.
345. Oh.
Good to have Ben and Autumn Stokes here with us from Spain. Ben graduated this year, and he wanted to come like his siblings did and come be part of the graduation, but they were not able to. So they're in town now, and my sister's got the idea of having a reception for him to do something for his graduation. And we can't give him a graduation, but I figured we could let him walk and get his diploma. So we're going to let him do that tonight. Ben, if you would come on up. And go ahead and just stand right up here up front. Now, usually when we have these things, we go over this stuff, and the kids walk through it, and we tell them how to do it, and so on and so forth. He hasn't done anything, so who knows how this is going to go. But, Ben, I'll tell you how this is going to go here. We'll just stand right there. You'll come across. I'll shake your hand, and you walk across. Brother Danny, you'll shake his hand with your right hand, and he'll give you the diploma with your left. And you turn just for a few seconds, because there's going to be some cameras going on. And then you just walk on down. You'll be done. All right? All right. So we're going to give Benjamin Stokes his diploma here tonight. Hey. All right, thank you all very much for that. Well, there is going to be a reception over there on the other side. Cake and punch, and everyone is welcome to join us. We'd love to have you. And let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for a pastor who's a seer for us. And Lord, how he's been good to us. Father, I pray you continue to bless our church and bless him and Miss Marcia. And Lord, continue to help them see. Father, I pray that you would bless tonight, bless this reception across the way. In Jesus' name, amen.